Hello and welcome to the final football postcast of 2020. What a strange old year it's been, but hopefully our expert team of tipsters have managed to bring some winners throughout a turbulent football landscape. Once again today, we have a lot of Premier League action to look ahead to, and joining myself, Jack Reeve, today we have Dan Childs and James Mason from the Racing Post Sport Desk, and from our sponsors, Paddy Power, the brilliant Johnny Smith, is with us. Gents, it has been a strange old year, but we have got through it, and there's been some brilliant football along the way. I know we've had the break, but there's been a lot to get through, and as always, televised games seem to be on every night, so it's kept us going at times. Dan, great to have you back on the show. At the top of the show, I thought we'd have a look back at the previous year and our favourite bets. They couldn't be big prize, short prize, Accas, lucky 15s, whatever they may be, but one where you look back and go, yeah, I'm proud of that one. What's been your particular highlight?
Well, I fancied West Brom, you know, to go up in the Championship. I mean, that would be the one, really. I mean, I can't say that I've actually, you know, I had a bet. I don't really bet anti-post, but they were, you know, I did fancy them at the start of the season. And I mean, they, you know, did a decent job of it in the end there. I mean, haven't really kicked on, have they? Bilic has got sacked afterwards, but they were a big fancy of mine last season.
And of course, you've got Sheffield United, haven't you, to go down this season, which is looking.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a wager. I just thought at the start of the season, I think what they were 9-2 to go down. I thought, that's, you could almost say that's in the winner's enclosure already, couldn't you? I mean, with 2 points from 16 games, don't see how they're going to get out of it. But I didn't think they were certainties to go down. Just thought they were a bit overpriced at the start of the season.
There we go. James, any bets that stand out that you've enjoyed in 2020?
Just to try and big myself up ahead of trying to predict some bets for the Premier League, I had a little treble that came in over in October of Reading Charlton came, which I think it was around 27-1, which was always nice to come in. So that was a good one, but there were some bad bets when it came to golf. I put quite a bit of money on the Masters, and I think one of about 10 bets came off for me.
So the golf score is always a tricky one, isn't it? I remember back, I can't remember what month, it was Sam Horsfield and Siwoo Kim put up by Steve Palmer, and Sam Horsfield won at Celtic Manor, I think 25-1, and had a little each way double. Siwoo Kim going into the PGA tournament leading by three and then blew up on the final round. That could have been the one for 2020 for me, but ever so close. Johnny, I know you like a non-league punt. Is that your standout bet in 2020?
My standout bet? No, I'm going to go with, I've had a top goal scorer bet this year in League One on Joe Pigott at 150-1. So, and he's third at the moment on, I believe, 9 or 10 goals. Yeah, he's got 10 goals. So that's my standout bet running on 2021. And my non-league bet obviously was Harrogate Town to get promoted. That was my main one last year. So they're sort of the two bets for me that stand out for me this year.
So does that mean you're the sort of founding member of the Pigott fan club now?
No, I backed him a few years ago when he was at Maidstone to be top goal scorer, and he got a move to Wimbledon midway through the season, so he's absolutely gutted. So yeah, not all has won, but yeah, I got him on him at big prices. So yeah, it's looking good so far this season anyway. Yeah. So.
Marvellous. Well, but best of luck for the rest of the season. If you are listening in today and you've had a particular highlight, then be sure to tweet us at Racing Post Sport. It'd be great to hear from you. Okay, let's get into this week's action then. Let's kick off things on Friday, the 1st of January. It's a 5:30 kickoff between Everton and West Ham United. Johnny, a show of the prices and your selection for this game.
Everton 5-6, 5-2 the draw, and 11-4 West Ham. I'm going to go for Everton win here. I just think they're sort of the form team going into this one. They've looked fairly solid enough. It wasn't a stellar performance at Bramall Lane, but still got the 3 points against probably a ready sort of fighting fit Sheffield United, really, that are trying to stay in the league. West Ham has sort of been hit and miss of late. They're missing Antonio Lanzini up top. Yeah, they've looked good, like I said, last time I was on here on the podcast. But for me, I think Everton at home at Goodison Park are going to take a lot of beating. I think the 5-6, it might be slightly short, but I couldn't really back West Ham at 11-4. Not for me. I'm going to go for a home win.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, you look at Everton's recent form in the Premier League, winning over Sheffield United, they beat Arsenal, Leicester, Chelsea. It's an impressive last few games for them, and they'll be confident going into this one, surely.
They will be. I must admit, I'm uneasy about backing them at odds on in this game. I'm going to go for the draw at 5-2. I mean, there's obvious positives with Everton. They've had the extra preparation time with the Manchester City game being postponed, and Richarlison's back in the frame. I think he would have missed the game against Manchester City due to the concussion protocol. So they're big positives for them. But I just think this is the sort of game where, unlike the games against Arsenal and Chelsea, where they could be kind of solid without the ball and counter-attack, it's going to be a game where West Ham are going to probably play with a low block and ask Everton to break them down. And I'm not so sure that they're going to have the creativity. With James still missing, I think that they may be lacking that a little bit. West Ham are tough to beat. They'll come to defend and counter-attack. They've not lost to a team outside of the established big six, if you want to call them that. I mean, Arsenal are nowhere near at the moment, but they've not lost to a non-big six team since this first weekend of the season when Newcastle beat them 2-0. So they are a tough side to beat, West Ham. Only 3 losses in the last 13 Premier League games. I think they might pick up a point here.
Yeah, James, I mean, I've mentioned, Everton in the kind of lead up to this game, but West Ham have probably been the team that have surprised me most. I was convinced that they'd be involved in a bit of a relegation battle this season. It doesn't look like that's going to be the case. They're 10th, they're above Leeds and Wolves and Arsenal, teams we talk about regularly. So a challenge for Everton here.
It is a challenge. I mean, you have to give credit to West Ham and to David Moyes, really, the way that he's stripped out some of the high earners, the flashy players that maybe didn't fancy the Premier League fight, and he now has a team that is working hard for him. I do just feel, though, that the busy period is starting to affect West Ham in their recent form. Like I said, no win in 4, just 1 win in 6 for them. It's the chopping and changing, which has maybe just unearthed maybe a lack of strength and depth in their squad. This will be their third game in 6 days as well for the Hammers, so I think it's a very tough ask for them to try and match Everton in their work rate. Everton, I mean, Carlo Ancelotti's talked down the title challenge ahead of this game, hasn't he? But he's a wily old character. He knows what he's doing when it comes to this type of stuff. And I think the fact they have beaten Chelsea, Leicester, Arsenal, I suppose you could say they're still a big team. But they've conceded just once during the run as well. So they've got their mojo back for me of Everton. And even without Rodriguez and Alan and Lucas Digne, they're all out for this game. I still think they've got enough for the likes of Calvert-Lewin and Gylfi Sigurdsson, who's hit a bit of a purple patch recently as well. So Everton win for me is the one to go for.
Yeah, exciting game to kick things off. And another good game on Friday evening. Manchester United taking on Aston Villa. This is the 8 o'clock kickoff. Johnny, how are Paddy Power pricing this?
Man United 4-5, 3-1 the draw and 100-30 Aston Villa.
It's remarkable, isn't it? Manchester United find themselves second, 3 points behind Liverpool with a game in hand. I mean, you go a couple of months back and there were calls for Ole to be sacked, and they still don't look solid, but they're grinding out victories. And when they get going, they're scintillating, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very good to watch, admittedly. The game against Leeds, Leeds played into their hands somewhat in the kamikaze match, as I call it. I think the 1-0 win at home to Wolves, they ground that out. Wolves maybe they had probably more chances, did Wolves, in that game, and then obviously the 2-2 draw against Leicester. Rashford puts one of his chances away there, and it could be a different match. But for me, I was very impressed when I watched Aston Villa away at Chelsea. I thought they looked very resolute, and they kept the ship quite tight. I think this probably for me could play out in a draw. I wouldn't fancy backing Man United at 4-5. Just purely on the fact that Villa, in terms of Grealish, he's looking in scintillating form. They're looking quite good going forward, and they've sort of been a bit more resolute and shown a little bit more grit in defence for me of Aston Villa, in particular at Stamford Bridge when I watched them the other day. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a draw in this one. It's a bit of a difficult one to call for me.
Yeah, tough game, this one, Dan. I must admit, I had a little bit of money on Villa against Chelsea at 7-2. I thought the price was big, and although they didn't beat them, they were impressive in that one. They find themselves 5th in the table, 4 points behind Manchester United. What a remarkable job Dean Smith's done at Villa.
Fantastic job, and I'm with Johnny. I'd even go a bit further, and I'm going to go for Aston Villa or draw, double chance. I think there's a they may get a point, but I think there's a chance they could win the game. And I watched. I think Villa are going under the radar. I mean, they're only 4 points off of Man United with a game in hand. So they're not that far off the title picture, really. And the points they're getting, I'm really looking at a lot of their games. They're not being lucky as well. It's not as if they're up there, you know, without deserving it. Defensively, even though they've not, they've signed a new goalkeeper who's looked good, Martinez. But the centre backs are the same as last season, but they're performing superbly. Ezri Konsa, Tyrone Mings. Tyrone Mings was actually out for the suspended, wasn't he, for the Chelsea game? And Courtney Howes came in, played really well. And they carry a threat. Jack Grealish been outstanding. Ollie Watkins, Anwar El Ghazi. I think he's got 5 goals in his last 5 matches. So lots of good things about them. Man United, I was all over them to beat Wolves in that game. And I have to say, watching the game, I couldn't believe how poor they were. I know they've won the game 1-0, but Wolves, and they're playing their second game in 3 days after they put a massive effort in against Spurs. And the two midfielders, Moutinho and Neves, I thought ran rings around, Pogba and Matic for most of the game. And really, it's only when Wolves tired, understandably, last sort of 15 minutes that United got any sort of grip on the game. I thought United were really, really poor. And I'll be very reluctant to back them, against odds against Villa. I think Villa will be tougher game, actually. Villa or draw, double chance for me.
Yeah, James, I'm not sure about you, but I've tried to avoid Manchester United, whether it be Akers or singles this season, because they're just so hot and cold, aren't they?
They are, and it's what they are under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, isn't it? They have a really good stretch of form, then they go off the boil, then they go back on it. You could maybe argue that, it's a strike when the iron's hot, really, with Man United, which they are at the moment, but I struggle to pick a winner out of this one. I've gone down the goals market, actually. One thing these two haven't struggled for is goals this season. I mean, United have got 31 in the league. Villa have just got 3 less. In the 23 matches for United in all competitions this season, they've only failed to score in 3 of those. So it's not in the final third that they're struggling. It's at the back where there's still problems for me. 4 clean sheets and 15 in the league isn't really good enough for a team that you may be thinking have aspirations of getting back and challenging for the title. They're currently in a position to challenge for the title, but I think their defensive problems will stop that. Villa, we mentioned what a turnaround it's been for them from last season, though. Surviving on the final day, they made some great signings. Ollie Watkins was mentioned before. Emiliano Martinez is another one, the goalkeeper. But in terms of going forward, they've only failed to score in 2 of their 14 league matches this term. So I think both teams to score for me is probably the safest bet to go on.
4 games to get through on Saturday, coming right up after this break.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Football Postcast here on the Racing Post for our final show of 2020. 4 games to get through coming up on Saturday, the 2nd of January. It starts off at 12:30. Tottenham Hotspur against Leeds United. Johnny, how are we seeing this one? Leeds United, so good going forwards, but they've conceded the second most amount of goals in the Premier League. That's 30. Only West Brom have conceded more than them this season. A tricky away fixture for them travelling to Tottenham. The prices and your selection.
We've got Spurs at 8-11, 11-4 the draw and 3-1 Leeds. I'm going to go for both teams to score, and I think Leeds could win this one, actually. I think Leeds, both teams to score and Leeds to win. I think Leeds in defence look at sea at times, but against West Brom, they sort of looked a little bit more assured at the back, and again, and went on when we beat Burnley, they were a little bit suspect at the back. Maybe we could get exploited against Tottenham, and for me, Leeds going forward is going to be the main concern for Jose Mourinho. This defensive style of football that he's got Tottenham playing at the moment is a massive concern, and I think Leeds will try and in terms of the movement from Rodrigo, Rafinha, Harrison switching wings, trying to get in between the defensive midfield and centre-halves. I think that's going to cause Spurs some issues. Tottenham are going to have to be pretty compact to contain Leeds. I do think, going forward, I think that might be just enough to squeeze Leeds to win here. Spurs look a little bit lacking the confidence at the moment. And in the goal scorer markets for me, Toby Alderweireld to score any time. As I mentioned last time I was on the podcast, Leeds have conceded the most goals from set pieces this season. And he'll probably be Spurs' target man from the corners. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a Leeds win and both teams to score. And Toby Alderweireld any time.
Yeah, I really like that goal score angle, Johnny. James, looking at this Spurs side, I mean, not many teams in the top 10 have worse form over the last five games. Just one win in their last five. This is a tricky game for them.
It is a tricky game, but I am actually going to go for Spurs to win this one. I just think they should have that advantage in terms of they were afforded the extra rest, weren't they, after their Fulham game was cancelled, and that could really play into their hands against the Leeds side. You know, that we've seen this season, they're always 100%, aren't they? They're always the high press and the energy, but they may struggle with the demands over this busy period for them. Now, I mentioned their Spurs' form, it has slipped, but maybe with that limelight now away from them, in terms of maybe people are thinking they can't challenge for the title, this is when they can bounce back to form. They have been very, very good at home. They've lost just 2 of 12 across all competitions this term. So that's good for them. And I think this is a type of game where Jose Mourinho, the type of person he is, he'll be itching to get the better of Marcelo Bielsa. The fact that Bielsa has been receiving huge plaudits this season. Now, I have to say, Bielsa is doing a good job at Leeds. You know, the 5-0 hammering of West Brom, it was a top performance, albeit helped by some woeful defending from the Baggies. But they've also been torn apart at times. I mentioned before, you know, with 6-2 to Man United, 4-1 to Crystal Palace, the same score against Leicester and a 3-1 against Chelsea, which could have been more. I don't always think the high press is going to work out for them. And I think against a team like Tottenham, who do still have a lot of quality in there, that Spurs will probably be able to get the better of them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an exciting game. Dan, I mean, James has alluded to their Leeds' style of play. I don't want to be the party people because I do really enjoy watching Leeds and I have done for the last couple of seasons under Bielsa. But the way in which they play, is it sustainable? I mean, 30 goals conceded. You don't often see a side at this point as high up in the division as they are when you've conceded that many. Can they continue in the fashion they are, or will they have to adapt slightly?
No, I think they can continue in the way they are, and you accept the pros and the cons of that. I mean, they're going to, you know, 3 points for a win, aren't they? And you're going to probably, you know, have a lot of more wins and losses, and maybe a few less draws when you're scoring so many and conceding so many. But you know, they're up there around like the halfway point of the table, which for a newly promoted team, you can only say that's success. I do think in this game, it could actually work against them. There'll be other games, you know, where their strategy works in their favour. But I think against Spurs, I think this is tailor-made, actually, for Spurs. The Spurs, you know, they rely, in a way, these days on teams coming onto them and then being able to exploit that, soak it up, if you like, and exploit it on the counter-attack. And I can just see, I think, you know, the counter-attacking qualities that they've shown Spurs at times with the link-up play of Kane and Son. I just think it may be a bit too much. And the Leeds defence as well, it is still injury hit at the moment. I think there's no Liam Cooper, Diego Llorente, Koch, I think, is out as well. You know, the back four played against West Brom wasn't really tested, but, you know, Dallas, Ayling, Struick and Alioski, I'm not sure that back four is going to hold up, actually, against Spurs. I mean, you know, the game against West Brom went superb against a team that offered no threat. As has been mentioned, the previous away game, they were hammered 6-2 at Manchester United. Just think, you know, that poor defensive record, you know, could find them out here. Spurs for me.
Yeah, lovely way to kick things off on Saturday. The 3 p.m. kickoff sees Crystal Palace taking on Sheffield United. Johnny, I'm not going to mention how many points Sheffield United have got this season, because I think I do that every single week. And apologies to Sheffield United fans for consistently rubbing salt into the wounds. But Palace coming off the back of a good result against Leicester. I thought they looked good in that. Sheffield United in desperate trouble. How do we see this one going?
You got Palace at 10 to 11, 12 to 5 the draw, and 11 to 4 Sheffield United. I think a home win here. I can't see any respite for Sheffield United, unfortunately. Palace, to me, has sort of been a bit Jekyll and Hyde. You know, against Villa, they were down to 10 men for a bit of, you know, Villa were down to 10 men and they still couldn't score, which was a massive concern for me. I think they're putting a better performance against Leicester. They're very solid at home at Palace, in my opinion. And Sheffield United, they had more of the chances against Burnley. They still couldn't capitalise and score. I think it's going to be a very long season for Chris Wilder's men. And I just think that there's potential COVID in the camp as well in terms of staff members. And I just think there might be a bit of unrest there. And for me, Palace, on their own patch, are very solid. And I think the 10-11 to me here represents a bit of value. So I'm going to go for a home win.
Do you feel comfortable backing Palace at odds on, Dan?
I'm not completely comfortable with backing them at odds on, but I do think they'll probably win the game. So my approach is to try and bump the price up a bit and go. I think if they're going to win Palace, they'll probably win to nil. So I think I'd rather take 21-10 that they win to nil than odds on, just that they win. I mean, Sheffield United, I think 11 of their 14 defeats this season, they haven't scored. 11 of their 14 defeats have been by a single goal, but 9 of those 14 defeats they haven't scored. They haven't scored in the last two games. Sheffield United, the confidence and the lack of quality is a real issue with them. Only 8 goals scored this season. And against Palace, I just think it'll be a tight game, probably be decided by a moment of magic. And Zaha is your man, really, for that. You know, he got 8 goals this season. He's on course to have his best season of his career. I just think there's every chance he'll pop up with another winning moment here.
James, I don't want to mention it. It's been talked about a lot that this Sheffield United might break that record set by Derby County in 2007-08 for the lowest amount of Premier League points. They got 11 that season. Sheffield United on 2 points after 16 games. Is there a chance that we might see a new low hit here?
There is a chance, but I'm going against the grain here, actually. And I'm actually going for a Sheffield United win, much to the gasp of everyone that's listening to this. I just think this is arguably the best chance for the Blades to pick up their first win of the campaign. You know, they're playing against the Palace side that haven't won in 5. And they're another squad, I think, that are struggling with a busy period. Now, we know Palace have got one of, if not the oldest squad in the league. Yes, they've got a bit of youth in there now, but it's still having to rotate and certain players can't do more than a couple of games in a week or something like that. I just don't think there's big enough options for Roy Hodgson to keep chopping and changing, which puts the strain on the more regular players. There's nothing really to back up going for the Blades in terms of form, other than the fact that they've only narrowly been beaten in the last two outings. So the performances, they are improving. Both 1-0 defeats to Everton, who are in good form, and Burnley as well. They've come up against the Burnley side, who are on the rise as well. But only 1-0 defeat shows that they may be showing a little bit more fight for Chris Wilder. I just think it's got to happen soon for them to get the first win. And I would rather back Sheffield United at 11-4 than hedge my bets with Palace at 10-11 on.
Yeah, no, I can see where you're coming from. They haven't really been too far out of games, have they? They just seem to lack a little bit of quality. It could come on Saturday against Crystal Palace, though. Let's have a look at the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. Brighton taking on Wolves. Johnny, I mean, we've talked a lot about Brighton on the podcast and certainly episodes that you've been on as well. And we're always very complimentary of them. But at the end of the day, they're not converting performances into results. They are 2 points off the relegation zone at the moment. They are in trouble.
Yeah, they are in trouble, Jack. Yeah. And I think they're going to be in even further trouble after this one. We've got Brighton at 8-5, 21-10 the draw, and 7-4 Wolves. I'm going to go for an away win. I think they'll be in a relegation battle this season, Brighton. Along with Fulham and West Brom and Sheffield United, as I just mentioned. They've not won in the last 8, I don't think, of Brighton. And in terms of the draws, they've not been convincing. Scraped by against Sheffield United in the end. And like I've mentioned before, they're having to rely on Danny Welbeck to get the goals. It doesn't really fill me very confidence. And for Wolves, while they've not been scoring massive amounts this season themselves, they've only got 15 in 16 matches, which is more than Brighton. They've looked far more resolute. And I just think that Wolves, they've got the point against Spurs. They've shown the grit and steel and determination is there. And I think they probably will win this one. I think at 7-4, Yeah, I'm probably going to go for an away win. I just think Brighton, to me, don't look solid enough at the back and are lacking the creativity going forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dan, I mean, you look at Brighton's sort of recent fixtures, games against Fulham, Sheffield United and West Ham. You would have thought Graham Potter and his team would have looked at them three games and gone, you know, it would be good to get a couple of wins out of them. It ended in three draws and then the most recent being a defeat to Arsenal, which you can kind of accept. But they need to start picking up results, don't they?
They do, yeah. They've got, you know, they've got issues all season, haven't they, of playing some lovely football and not making things count, you know, in the penalty areas. I'm actually going to go for them to win this game, though. I feel that Graham Potter is targeting this game. I know there's a lot of, you know, complaints made by, you know, on social media by Brighton fans about his team selection against Arsenal, where he made lots of changes and left lots of attacking players, you know, out the starting line. Trossard was left out, Welbeck, Mopai, Connolly. I just think that, you know, he's done that partly because the previous game was a couple of days before, but also I think he's looking at the Wolves game as being one that he's going to target. And I think Wolves, their squad is pretty small as well. And I think the third game in this busy period, you know, could be a struggle for them. I mentioned how good they were at Manchester United, watching the game play really, really well. They did look a tired side for the last 15 minutes. Looked like they, you know, it was starting to catch up with them. Possibly could have had 6 points from the games against Spurs and Man United, the way they've played. But it may catch up with them now. Brighton, you know, I think they may, with those forwards coming back into the side, some of them at least, might carry a bit more of a cutting edge. I think Wolves play some lovely football. But without Jimenez, I've noticed there is a lack of a cutting edge for them up front. So Brighton for me.
Yeah, they just seem to lack an out-and-out goal scorer at the moment, Wolves, don't they, James?
Yeah, they do. I mean, they have struggled since the injury to Raul Jimenez. You know, there's been a lot of pressure thrown on Fabio Silva, wasn't it? The club record signing. He's still a youngster, isn't he? Still adapting to the Premier League. But to throw him in and say, you need to score the goals that Jimenez was, it's very difficult. I still think they've got enough in there, though. You know, Pedro Neto, Daniel Pedence. There's still players in there that can chip in with goals. You know, Ruben Neves now and again. But I look at this one, and again, I'm going for a Wolves win. I think they're fantastic value to win away from home, especially when you look at Brighton's record at the Amex. Just one win in the last 14 at home, it shows that something is not right on their home patch, and maybe it is the fans not being there where they really, really struggle without that at the Amex. But, you know, Graham Potter, we've said it before, they play really nice football. It's easy on the eye, isn't it? But that's not always enough when it comes to the Premier League, and you need to find a way to get a side over the line. And I just think they rely so heavily on Neil Mopay. 5 goals this season. No one else is really chipping in around him. It's quite similar, I think, Mopay at Brighton to Callum Wilson at Newcastle in terms of Wilson is the integral part of Newcastle. If he doesn't score, Newcastle don't win. It's pretty similar with Brighton and Mopay. And I just think it's hard to pass up the chance of Wolves to win. So I've gone for Wolves to win. I've also gone for a correct score of 1-0. 6 of Wolves' wins this season have been, so 2 of them have been by 1-0 and 2 others have been by a 1-goal margin. So I think that could be a decent one at 13-2.
Yeah, great shout. If Brighton want to survive in the Premier League, it's going to have to be better at home for them in 2021. One final game to look at on Saturday. It's between West Brom and Arsenal. Johnny, Arsenal starting to show, well, form we'd expect from Arsenal. 2 wins in their last 2, going up against the West Brom side here. How are the prices looking for this?
We've got West Brom at 9-2, 11-4 the draw, and Arsenal at 4-7.
Dan, how are we seeing this one going? Arsenal slowly but surely climbing the table, up to 13th now, just behind Leeds and Wolves. West Brom, not too far from safety. Will they be seeing this one as an opportunity?
Yeah, I think they will, actually. I'm not going to be too sucked in by sort of, you know, one or two match form. I'm going to go with West Brom or draw double chance. You know, quite a bit of odds against for that. I just think there's a... markets are overreacting a bit to that Leeds game, which was always going to be difficult for West Brom. Been 2 days after they've, you know, absolutely, you know, left it all out there in the game at Liverpool, where they've got a brilliant 1-1 draw. They put so much effort into that. The last thing you want after that is to face a team with the energy 2 days later that Leeds have got. You know, so I think it's a bit understandable that after the horror show of that own goal that they have actually, you know, struggled in that game. Obviously, you're not going to anticipate a 5-0 defeat, but I think there are reasons behind it. Now you look at recent, in the not too recent past, they've got the draw at Liverpool. They also drew at Manchester City, didn't they, in the last game under Slaven Bilic. And I look at other games against big teams this season. They've drawn with Chelsea 3-3, lost very narrowly 1-0 against Spurs and Man United. You know, they are competitive against these big teams, and you still got to consider Arsenal a big team, even though they're struggling a little bit in the table. Well, Arsenal are excellent against Chelsea, thoroughly deserve that win. The Brighton game, I wasn't so bowled over by that. I mean, they've got the winning goal in the end against the Brighton team. As I mentioned earlier, Graham Potter made lots and lots of changes. It was nothing like a full-strength Brighton team. So I'm not sucked in by that. I'm going to go for a bit of value. West Brom will draw double.
James, what are we thinking? I mean, that West Brom performance against Liverpool, it was fairly dire to watch, but it was one of the finest defensive performances I've seen in a long while. Completely nullified Liverpool, then backed that up with a terrible display against Leeds United. Arsenal, on the other hand, they'll be more pleased with their recent showings. How do we see this one going?
Well, I've tried to get some value, but in terms of, I've gone for an Arsenal win, but because that's a little bit short for me to back just by itself, I've gone Arsenal to win to nil, around 17-10. Now, I mean, West Brom and Sam Allardyce, I mean, he said that these two were relegation rivals a few days ago, didn't he? I think he's just trying to wind Arteta up. But I have to say, at the end of the season, they won't be anywhere close to each other. You know, I'm not surprised to hear Allardyce call for the break in the season, because his squad are an absolute mess right now, I think. You know, they were abysmal in that 5-0 loss to Leeds. And it's just huge question marks for me surrounding the attitude of some of the players. I actually think West Brom would deserve to go down, and that's based purely on the fact that Slaven Bilic's sacking was premeditated, and Allardyce, he couldn't resist the chance to come back in and try to be this huge saviour, you know, keep a side up again from relegation. I think this could be a bridge too far to keep West Brom up this season anyway. But you've got to give credit to Mick Arteta for me. He's been under the cosh, but his side have won back-to-back games now. And if you look at how tight the table is, he's just a good run away from getting them back into the European mix, actually. It's not too far away for him. One thing I think he has to keep doing is start Alexandre Lacazette. He keeps chopping and changing with a Frenchman being in and out. But when Arteta starts, he's such a focal point to the team. He brings out the best of others around him. He's someone that they can hit. He runs the channels. So Lacazette starts, I think it boosts the chance of Arsenal getting the win. I just think there's a good bit of confidence back in the Arsenal team now, and they should overcome a West Brom side who have got the worst defensive record and who are also struggling to fire at the other end of the pitch as well.
Three games on the Sunday, coming right up.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
We're back to part three of the football postcast here on the Racing Post for our final show of 2020. What a strange year it's been. Let's have a look at the early kickoff on Sunday then. Burnley taking on Fulham. Johnny, the prices and your selection.
Yeah, we have no prices up for this game at the moment due to Fulham's COVID situation. But if I was to have a bet in this game, it would be a home win. I think there's prices out there available around 5-4 on Burnley. Elsewhere, we've taken it down purely as a precaution due to Fulham's obviously COVID positive results from the other day. They will probably expect to miss players as well for this one. It's not been announced who's potentially got COVID, obviously, because of confidentiality. For me, Burnley were brilliant at Elm Road. Should have gotten a draw against Leeds. They're by far the better team in the second half. Dyche has got the guy all back. Yeah, they've scored the least amount of goals this season, but they've got the rewards in terms of keeping the ship tight at the back. And for me in this one, I'm going to go for a home win for Burnley.
Yeah, Dan, I didn't want to mention COVID at the top of the show. I think if people are listening to the football postcast, they probably want some kind of escape from that news. But we're going to have to mention it here. Of course, Fulham, one of the teams that had to postpone their game due to COVID. There's been other games in the Premier League, a whole host of games postponed in the EFL because of it. Are we getting to a point now of almost a tipping point? If there's more postponements, will the league have to take a real look at themselves and go, yeah, we might have to take a break here?
May have to do that, Jack. But I mean, the other argument is that, if you don't get at least summer fixtures, you know, on in the meantime, then where do you kind of fit them in later? I mean, you've got the implications of the Euros, you know, later in the summer, and if UEFA aren't going to move the dates there, you know, there is an onus really on the, you know, the top level English leagues to finish, in time. So it's a difficult one, really. I mean, if they've got confidence in their protocols, then I suppose you could argue that the games that are seen as safe to go ahead should still go ahead. But in this game, I mean, I would very, very hard to, you know, to have much trust in a bet until you know which Fulham players are out, how many, and, you know, and who the identities are. But without knowing that, I would probably edge towards the draw. I think it's around 5-9-4 generally. Fulham have drawn their last four games, only one loss in their last six. They are looking a lot more solid than they were earlier in the season. And Burnley, while they're on a good run at the moment, they don't score many goals. They only scored 9 goals, and didn't look a great deal of difference between them and Sheffield United, who have got 2 points, you know, at the foot of the table in that recent game. So, no, draw for me.
Yeah, a tricky one to call this with, obviously, the current implications. I know there were certain journalists covering EFL clubs just saying, maybe add a little column onto your table with a points per game tally, just in case. I hope it doesn't come to that, but who knows what 2021 will bring. James, we'll let you finish on this game. I know it's tricky to call, but any angles for this?
I think I'd probably have to go with a home win. One thing, I mean, I think it'll be a shocker of a game to watch. I don't think football will be the winner in this, but I do think Burnley will take 3 points. Sean Dyche, he somehow manages every season to grind out results, keep the Clarets in the Premier League. You know, 10 points in the last 15 on offer shows how much they've improved their form. They've now got Ashley Barnes and Chris Wood back up front together. You know, they've always got the reliable Nick Pope in goal, who I personally think should be England's number one. And the thing is, with Fulham, we mentioned before there, you know, they have shown some heart recently, 4 straight draws, but that's not going to be enough to keep them in the league. And they just seem to me to lack that bit of cutting edge to get over the line and pick up the victories. And I think Burnley style of play, I think they will just grind out a win, maybe even a 1-0.
Okay, there we go. We'll see if that one goes ahead. If not, then the first game on the Sunday will be Newcastle United against Leicester City. And Johnny, I was, again, impressed with Newcastle. I think they come in for a lot of stick sometimes. Unjust. I really like the look of Callum Wilson. They seem to have shored up a little bit defensively, and they go up against a Leicester side who have impressed, and they find themselves third in the division this season, but can be unstuck. How do you see this one going?
I think I'm going to... Well, we've got Newcastle at 4-1, 11-4 the draw, and 8-13 Leicester. I think for me, Leicester away here looks solid enough. I'm going to try and bump the price up a little bit. I do think 8-13 is slightly too short, considering the last time that these two teams met last season, Leicester were 4-5, and at home they were 1-2. So to me, the 8-13 probably a bit artificially short, in my opinion, on the market. I'm going to go for a draw half-time and Leicester full-time. I think it might be a bit of a slow burner to begin with. I think Newcastle will be fairly resolute, but I think in the second half, they might get exposed with Leicester in terms of the counter-attack. And for me, Leicester as well have the second-best form on the road this season in the league. They've not liked it when playing at the King Power Stadium. They've got 6 wins, 1 draw and 1 loss. So for me, Leicester like it on the road. I think it's going to be a tight game early doors. And I think they'll nick it in the second half. So yeah, that's nuts.
Good stuff. Yeah, Dan, I was watching the Liverpool game against Newcastle last night, and Amazon highlighted Newcastle's attacking stats, and they basically came in last in every kind of stat that you'd like to be looking at. So we know that they're not great going forwards, but if they can put in a defensive display like they did against Liverpool again in this game on Sunday, then surely they have a chance.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a bit of a penalty box team, Newcastle. You know, they're scoring, kind of, you know, making the most of the few opportunities often that they do have, and they're keeping things tight at the back despite not having a lot of the ball. And you know, they're in a pretty decent position given their resources. You know, the lack of money that's been spent in several transfer windows, and 19 points from 15 games. That's not a bad return, really. And I think Leicester are quite a bit too short here. I'm going to go 11-4 the draw. I think looks good value. And Newcastle actually played, offered a bit of a threat as well, I thought, against Liverpool. I had a few carved out a few chances, and you know, nil-nil draw wasn't entirely, I don't think, undeserved on the balance of play. If you can do that, you know, against probably the best team in the league, you know, why shouldn't you pick up another result against Leicester, who have done better a lot of the time, Leicester, against the big teams, I think, this season, against teams that kind of sit in and counter-attack them. You know, they've had some problems. You know, West Brom beat them at the King Power, so did Fulham. I know this isn't at home, but I think the style of the game will be similar to a Leicester home game, where Leicester will have a lot of the ball and the onus will be on them to break Newcastle down. I'm not so sure they'll have much joy in doing that. So, draw for me.
James, last time out, Leicester drew away to Crystal Palace. I don't know about you, but this game feels similar to that one. Can Leicester go one better this time?
Yeah, I think they'll be able to go better. I mean, in Newcastle, they would have been happy with that 0-0 draw against Liverpool, of course. But on all accounts, I think they should have lost that game in terms of the chances Liverpool created. I mean, it was a great performance from Carl Darlow. When your goalkeeper gets man of the match, you know how the pattern of the game's been. And I think the three centre-halves of Kieran Clarke, Fabian Schär, Federico Fernandes played very well also. The worry, though, I think, for Steve Bruce is how much is that game taken out of them? We mentioned earlier, when teams play against Liverpool, they often expand a lot of energy. And that was evident for West Brom recently, wasn't it? They got the draw and then they were hammered 5-0 by Leeds. Does Steve Bruce have the options where he can chop and change? He can't really rotate too much in an attacking aspect. He can't rest Callum Wilson because he's the best goal threat they have. I mean, he's accounted for just shy of 50% of Newcastle's goals this season and goals and assists. So it's how important he is to them. I just think this fixture will be very similar to that game against Liverpool. Leicester will have the bulk of possession. And although the Foxes have drawn their last two, they are actually in good form. They've won their last five trips to St. James's Park as well, albeit one of those is on penalties. So there's no fear when they travel to Tyneside. I think this will be comfortable as you like for Leicester. So a Leicester win would be one route to go down, but for a bit more value, Leicester 2-0 for me at 13-2.
There we go then. I think Newcastle have a chance in that one, I must admit. One more game on the Sunday then. It kicks off at 4:30 and it looks to be a cracker. Chelsea taking on Manchester City. Dan, we'll come to you first, actually, on this one. Manchester City slowly but surely finding the form that we've become so used to under Pep Guardiola. Chelsea are above them in the division, though, despite only winning one of their last five games in the Premier League. I think it will be exciting. How do you see it going?
I'm going to edge towards Chelsea on the draw no bet odds against. I know Chelsea haven't been playing that well recently. I know the results have taken a turn for the worse, and Lampard is under pressure. But I don't know. I just think that they did. You know, the Villa game I thought was an improvement on the Arsenal game where they were dreadful, and they have got big players, Chelsea, that can rise, I think, to a bigger occasion. I think they beat City, didn't they, in the corresponding fixture last season, 2-1. I mean, that was the game that officially denied Manchester City the title. And you've got a few question marks, I think, over City as well. You've got, you know, a bit of, you know, obviously COVID in the camp. You know, whether or that's going to be enough to call the game off, we don't know at this stage. But they've also, it doesn't get mentioned a lot, their record away to big six sides now for quite a while is not good. You know, since the start of last season, they picked up 4 points from their last seven games away to big six teams. That, you know, there's a big issue there, I think, for Manchester City and how they approach these games. I think, you know, they often get to have a lot of the ball, but get counter-attacked and struggle defensively. So I'm going to go with Chelsea here at odds against draw no bet.
Johnny, Manchester City, of course, still taken very seriously in terms of the outright market. I think they're still second favourites across most bookmakers. How do you see this game going?
Yeah, we're 2-1 Chelsea. We're 13-5 the draw and 11-10 Man City. Like Dan touched on there, that we are sort of unsure as to what COVID has impacted Manchester City. I believe maybe Walker might have had it. He was rested the last game, so it maybe indicates that he may well be out for this one. For me, two teams very, very evenly matched, in my opinion. City now will be thankful they've got Aguero back fit. That's a big, big plus for them. And he came off the bench the other day. And just looking at Man City's away record this season, they've played 7, won 3, drawn 3 and lost 1. And they've only scored 7 goals and conceded 5. So they're quite resolute. I think this could be quite a low-scoring game. But for me, there's not too much to pick between the teams, I think, in terms of attacking threat. Defensively, sort of similar, really. I think John Stones has done well since he stepped in and deputised at centre-half. And for me, I think a draw maybe at 13-5 might be the call here. I don't like betting the draw very often, but I think there's not much to choose between the two teams. So, yeah, I'm going to go for a draw here.
You can have the final say on this one, James.
I'm going to go for Man City, actually. I just can't look away from that price for Man City, 11-10. I don't think you'll get them at that price many times in a Premier League season, will you? I mean, I know they're away to Chelsea, but I mentioned there, Chelsea are out of form at the minute, just one win from five in the league. And there is actually a degree of pressure on Frank Lampard, not only with the money that he spent in the summer, you know, he got backed, but especially recent rumours linking Thomas Tuchel with the job as well, potentially coming in. If Lampard doesn't maybe deliver some silverware or doesn't at least get the form in the right trajectory, you know, you could argue this is, in fact, maybe one of the best times to face City in terms of the, you know, the issues they've had with COVID. Where will they be without some of their key players? We'll have to wait and see. Maybe that's something to look at closer to the game, actually the lineups that come out, who City field. But you still think that Pep Guardiola has enough options, enough strength and depth in that squad where he's able to field a strong 11 that will be attacking. I mentioned there they have looked a little bit better at the back, City, this season. So I just can't get away from that 11-10 price for me, and I think Guardiola will get one over Lampard.
Yeah, really looking forward to that one. And then, of course, we've got a cracking game on Monday as well, the 4th of January, 8 o'clock kickoff, Southampton welcoming Liverpool. Dan, we'll come to you to start here. I mean, Liverpool's still topping the table at the moment. Of course, Manchester United do have that game in hand, which could level things up at the top. I must admit, I was really keen on Liverpool anti-post and throughout the season, but the performance against West Brom and the performance against Newcastle has thrown up a few questions in my head. They just looked a lot more static going forward. I mean, we've become so used to such a free-flowing style under Jurgen Klopp, but really struggled to even create chances against them two sides.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it, Jack, what you go by? I mean, you know, you go back a couple of games and they've won 7-0 at Crystal Palace. I mean, you can pick out, can't you, the odd games where they've, you know, and there are more games this season than the last where they're not performing to the top level. But, I mean, you could say the same, you know, about all the teams in the division. They're, the fight for consistency is proving very difficult, you know, in this most unusual of seasons. And I do still think that, you know, they're probably the most likely teams to win the title. No, it's going to be interesting. I think this is a tricky game for them at Southampton, who are having another decent season. Ralf Hasenhüttl doing a fantastic job there. They do start games very, very fast, Southampton. You know, maybe they can unsettle Liverpool a little bit with that, you know, high press. They do go about teams early on. I mean, they took that 2-0 lead, didn't they, at home to Manchester United before running out of steam, losing 3-2. Started really, really fast, I remember, against Spurs in the home game, and they ended up losing 5-2. And even the last game against West Ham, had a great, you know, first half, got right on the front foot. Second half again, where, you know, they ran out of steam in that 0-0 draw. I think this could be a similar pattern here. I think they'll get after Liverpool early. And Liverpool, I mean, there's doubts over Matip's fitness, isn't there? He didn't play, you know, against Newcastle. He went off injured in the previous game. So there's a possible weakness there at the heart of that Liverpool defence. I can see Southampton getting about them early, maybe score a first goal. That leads into my tip. I'm going to go with the ex-Liverpool boy, Danny Ings, who's back to full fitness again. He's around 6-1 to score the first goal. Looks a good bet to me, but it wouldn't surprise me. Southampton run out of steam, Liverpool come back and win the game.
What do you reckon, James, in terms of this Liverpool side? I mean, everything at the start of the season, wasn't it, about their injury crisis, of course, still without Van Dijk. But I think the worry for me watching them over the past couple of games is that ability to create chances like they used to. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, it's a strange one. I mean, there's been a lot of shock results this season already, hasn't there? I think it's just that type of campaign. And, you know, the fact is, they're still at the top of the table, Liverpool, aren't they? So it's still a very, very good defence of their title. I actually think, though, Southampton or draw double chance around 6-5 is actually quite a good route to go down. I mean, mentioned there, Southampton have slipped a little of late, you know, no winning four, but three of those have been draws And while they've maybe not been scoring, they have been looking good at the back, haven't they? You know, Bednarek is a very impressive centre-half. You know, clean sheets in the last two. The issues mentioned there, they're at the other end as things stand with Danny Ings. You know, with him being out recently, that's been the main reason for this. But with Ings back now to full fitness, it offers them that little bit of hope. You know, he formed a really good partnership with Che Adams at the start of the campaign. So those two back together, I think, will be very good for them. Liverpool, it's just on the road, really. It's a strange one for them. You know, although they should have beaten Newcastle, they didn't. And that was their fifth draw from the last six away matches in the Premier League. So there's definitely some issues somewhere there for them. And it's at the back. I mean, Nathaniel Phillips, I watched the game. I didn't think he was great at all. It was a very up and down game for him. He got yellow carded in the second half for a clumsy challenge. He got done by Callum Phillips quite a few times in terms of the strength. I mean, any sort of striker that's got a bit of nous, which Danny Ings does have, I think he could try and play off Phillips if Phillips does get another start under Jurgen Klopp. It'll be interesting to see if Klopp tries to change things around, but at the heart of the defence, he can't. I think Joel Matip, Klopp said he's out for 3 weeks, I think it is, with an adductor strain. So he's going to have to go with a combination of Phillips and Fabinho. And Southampton, they seem to be, it seemed to be a lot harder to break down this season. History is against them. They have lost this fixture the last three times, but there just definitely seems to be more confidence in them. And yeah, I think double chance. I definitely think they can get something from this game.
Come on then, Johnny. The final shout of 2020. Southampton, Liverpool. What's your bet for this?
Oh, I'm going to go for Southampton or draw. In agreement, really. I think Liverpool's defensive frailties in terms of the injuries at the back might be an issue, and somebody like Danny Ings and Che Adams running at Phillips could well cause them a bit of a problem. For me, going forward, I think Liverpool, like Dan said, they looked a bit static against West Brom, which I don't know whether it's fatigue or what. They looked a bit tired in the front three. They played a hell of a lot of games in this calendar year, and whether he's going to freshen it up, I don't know, in terms of the front three, what he's going to do. They'd certainly miss Diego Jota up top. I think that he's a massive loss for Liverpool. I thought it was brilliant when he came in. But for me, Southampton have looked resolute at the back. Should have really nicked the points at Fulham had it not been for VAR. And for me, they're probably at the prices, I certainly won't be rushing to back Liverpool at 8-13. And I just think Southampton or draw on the double chance market looks a bet for me.
Yeah, an interesting month or so for Liverpool. We'll start to see what they're made of in their defence of the title. OK, that's the Premier League wrapped up, and it's another exciting game week to kick things off in 2021. And there's, of course, loads of football going on across Europe and in the EFL as well. So, Dan, we'll get your other selections across the other divisions, please.
Yeah, I've got two other selections. I mean, first, the Friday night game in the Championship. I fancy Derby, you know, which are much improved under Wayne Rooney to win away to Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, Derby have one defeat in eight games under Rooney, and that was a 1-0 loss home to Preston when Martin Waghorn was sent off after 20 minutes. So, understandable that they lost that game. They've been improving all the time, had a fantastic 4-0 win at Birmingham in their last game, starting to play with real confidence. Youngster Sibley came in, looked excellent. Kazim Richards looked really good for them up front, good decent focal point as well. And against a Wednesday side, they actually won their first game under caretaker Neil Thompson. They won 2-1 at home to Middlesbrough, scored two early goals, and then kind of hung on for grim death, really. The, you know, the stats of that game were really against the Middlesbrough, dominated the shot count. I'm not so sure, you know, they, after putting so much into defending that lead, that they're going to have much left here. So Derby in that one. I've also got a League Two bet, Tranmere away to Colchester, Tranmere to win that game. Both in mid-table at the moment, but Tranmere have been a lot better recently. Since the start of November, they won six of their 10 league games. Keith Hill's in charge at the moment, doing a good job. Colchester, in that same, you know, in their last 10 games, they've only had two wins. They've had no win in the last five games. Not been playing very good football at the moment. I think they lost 2-0 at Southend, didn't they, last weekend? I know Southend have improved, but that's a terrible result there in the Essex Derby. I think Captain Harry Powell has been injured for the last couple of months. That, you know, they could be missing him in the midfield. So Tranmere to win that one.
There we go. James, any other fancies?
I've got one actually, and again, I've delved into the lower echelons of League Two football actually, between Walsall and Carlisle. Now, I've got a very close friend who is a big Carlisle fan. He didn't have much hope for them at the start of the season actually, but the way that they have turned things around and started this campaign is very good. Now, I mean, they're in really good form. Bad for them, they absolutely threw away a 3-0 lead against Bolton Wanderers last time out. So they'll be very, very disappointed and itching to get back to winning ways. But, you know, they could end up at the top of the table at the end of the weekend. I just think they're playing some decent football away from home. You know, it's been a little bit hit and miss, but I just think, to be quite honest, they're coming up against the Walsall side who, again, it's been up and down for them this season, really. They are still sort of in the hunt for the playoff positions, but I don't think Walsall probably got enough. They've lost the last two, 2-0 to Salford, 2-1 to Scunthorpe, and I think it's a good time for Carlisle to take them on. And it's 7-5. I think that's probably a decent enough price to take on a team that are challenging for top spot.
There we go. Love a little League Two bet. And Johnny, I'm sure you're going to add some lower echelon football in here, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Cambridge United to beat Grimsby in League Two. I just think Grimsby, they got a point the other night, but I think Cambridge, they've been a bit hit and miss on the road, but I think Grimsby are in a free-for-all. There's a little bit of unrest at the club. And yeah, I think maybe 5-4, 11-8, potentially there's a bit of value there. I'm agreeing with Dan in terms of Derby County against Sheffield Wednesday. And the other bet in the Championship for me is Middlesbrough to beat Wickham. Defensively, Warnock wasn't impressed the other night. And yeah, I just think that Wickham, they're not offering a right lot, in my opinion, this season. And I think Middlesbrough might just have the guile to beat them away from home. So they're my three bets for the weekend.
Brilliant stuff. And now it's time for the Naps.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, the part of the show where our expert panel put together their best bets of the week. We'll enhance it as a treble on the Paddy Power website. You can find it easy enough if you head over to Paddy Power. Dan, we'll start with your Nap.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Championship leaders Norwich to win at home to Barnsley at, I think it's 8-11. I think that's a reasonable price. I know Barnsley are having a really good season. Valerian Ismail is doing a very good job there. And I think they've got, I think, wins in 15 under him. But that doesn't put me off of Norwich. I think Norwich, I mean, again, you know, this stage of the season, you want 2 points per game, don't you? In that automatic positions at the end of the season. They got 44 points from 22. So they're bang on course, despite, as you'll know, Jack, having lots of injuries earlier in the season. They've been getting a fitter squad more recently. Todd Cantwell and Kenny McLean back into the fold in December. They were on top for most of the 1-1 draw against QPR, which, I mean, they're going to be disappointed with that result. And at the end, I mean, they could even have lost it with a sorry Samuel Smith, but they were still dominant for most of that game. I think they'll bounce back against Barnsley, who, away from home, all of their four away wins, Barnsley, have been against teams in the bottom seven. So I just think problems, you know, matching the teams away to the higher teams in the division. Norwich for me.
The Canaries go into the treble. James, you can have the second team.
Yeah, I've gone for the first Premier League match of 2021 at Everton against West Ham. And I fancy Everton to get the win on this one. They're in a good run of form. Won the last four in the league, beating Chelsea, Leicester and Arsenal in that run as well. They just seem to have got their mojo back really after what would have been a tricky spell for them. I think they've got enough quality in their team, even without the likes of James Rodriguez, Alan and Lucas Digne, who are all injured. You know, still got Dominic Calvert-Lewin in great form, Gylfi Sigurdsson in there. Alex Iwobi's hitting a bit of form as well for them. And I just think against the West Ham side, who are struggling at the moment, no win and four for them. I think the busy period has started to affect their squad. I think they're lacking on energy levels. Third game in 6 days, this will be for the Hammers. So I think David Moyes will be having a bit of misery against his former club.
And Johnny, complete the Nap treble.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Oxford United to beat Burton. Burton has sacked the manager after the defeat at home to Wigan the other night. Oxford United have been going under the radar this season a little bit. They had a very poor start, but they had their XG was actually very good for the league. I think they were about third in the league this season when I looked at them recently. And to me, they've gone under the radar a little bit. They had a very good season last season, failed at the final hurdle in the playoff final. And I think that's probably taken a bit of recovery. But for me, they represent a bit of value here at 10-11. I sort of make them about 8-11 to 100% to win this match. So I think that's my value bet for the weekend.
Norwich, Everton and Oxford United complete the Nap treble this week. As I say, you can find that easy enough on the Paddy Power website. A big thank you to Dan, James and Johnny for joining me this week. And of course, everyone who's contributed to the Football Postcast throughout 2020. It's been a real joy, and thank you to the thousands and thousands of listeners that have tuned in over that time frame. I hope we've brought you some winners throughout 2020. I hope we can continue to do so in 2021. If you are having a bet this weekend, remember to do so responsibly and bet within your means. I hope that 2021 brings you joy and happiness. We'll be back again next week for more football previews. But until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon. Bye-bye.